ChatGPT is no doubt an incredibly powerful technology. People are using it for anything you can imagine. But that still leaves us with the question of what ChatGPT can't do, right? It can do all these incredible things, but what are the areas that it struggles in and what are the areas that it is not very good at? So in today's podcast, we are going to dive into that. And I would say that just right off the get-go, one of the most significant limitations of ChatGPT is its lack of true understanding. So ChatGPT has been trained on a large amount of data. We all know that from the internet, right? But this does not mean that it truly understands the meaning of the words and phrases it uses. Instead, it's pretty much just relying on statistical patterns in the text to generate responses. This is how the transformer model that it is built on operates, and it can sometimes lead to strange or pretty much nonsensical responses. So for example, ChatGPT might generate an answer that seems to make sense, but when you really look at it, it becomes pretty clear that it doesn't actually understand the question you asked it, and it sometimes just makes up a response. So another limitation of ChatGPT is that it can be biased. So whether that is for a various number of different things, the text it was trained on was a collection from the internet, which means that it can reflect those biases that it was trained on and spit those back out. You know, we call that garbage in, garbage out with data when you're training AI models. So if you have bad data there, it can create bad outputs. ChatGPT is also limited by its lack of context. So when generating text, ChatGPT does not have access to external information or content. And so that means that it can sometimes generate answers that are not relevant to the question or task at hand. So for example, it might generate a response that is based on outdated info, or it doesn't really take into account recent events or developments. That's something that's kind of hard. So to overcome this, some developers might need to integrate ChatGPT with other technologies that provide it with additional context or information. And something very interesting coming down the pipe right now is with the Bing search integration, right? We all know that Microsoft invested $10 billion into ChatGPT. And because of that, ChatGPT is going to get integrated into Bing search to be kind of like a competitor to Google. But what's interesting is people are saying, well, two things. Number one, people are saying that it's GPT-4. So that's like the next version of ChatGPT that's going to be released. Some people are already in the beta and already testing it out. And I've seen some pretty incredible screenshots of people actually showing them asking it questions about, you know, for example, someone asked it about someone today's opinion on a specific topic, and it actually used Bing to go search the internet and find links and sources to what that person's opinion was on a specific topic. And when it gave the response, it used ChatGPT to generate like the natural language response, but it used Bing's integration to actually cite the sources of that person's response. In addition, I think it was GPT-4, so it was even more powerful of a response. But you know, if you really want this thing to be powerful, I think it's going to be integrating with other software and tools to go and make this thing a really robust system where not only are people getting responses, but they're also getting sources for those responses. And by doing that, you know, Bing is able to provide information for things that are happening right now, cutting edge stuff or, you know, news that is happening recently. I have also seen people show screenshots of like, you know, saying who won the Super Bowl. You know, the day after the Super Bowl, and the Bing ChatGPT version wasn't able to do it. I'm assuming this is something they're hopefully going to get fixed so it can get stuff up to date. But it is important to know, you know, it's not like a all-knowing source of current information that's, you know, obviously trained on information in the past. And so that is one of its limitations that people are going to have to work around. So it's also pretty limited by its training data. The data that it was trained on only really represents a specific snapshot of the internet, and it's not going to really reflect the full amount of opinions and experiences that are being posted on there. So it's not always going to generate responses that are representative of, you know, different countries and cultures. And you know, OpenAI is working to address some of those limitations. And so they're trying to increase the diversity of the text it's using for training, but it's still an ongoing challenge. And it kind of also inputs other issues, right? When they start to, I don't know, when they are trying to cherry pick data that it is being trained on or highlighting, it just gets pretty tricky to see, you know, what really is the accurate amount of like data. Like, for example, if they wanted to train it using more data from people from India and sharing their experiences, like that could be fantastic. But it's like, what level of those people's experience do you put in versus other people's experiences, and trying to get it to output something representative of different people is kind of tricky. Like, you know, it makes you wonder, like, would you almost create like a ChatGPT trained off of, you know, French internet, everything on the French internet. So French people are getting things that represents their culture because it was trained off of content that they created, right? Like, are we, you know, just feeding everyone over the whole world sort of like an American version of the internet? So it just brings up a lot of questions. People are going to have to figure that out. And obviously different cultures believe different things, have different ways of life. Making that reflective for everyone is potentially, I think, something that's going to be important for these kind of GPT systems in the future. I mean, you even look at like China is creating their own. Obviously, that has all of its own red flags, having the Chinese government get their hands into like an AI, because they can add their own biases and their own things that are sketchy. It'll just be interesting to see how this affects people geographically, because there is definitely people with different cultures and viewpoints, and this ChatGPT is pretty much trained on a lot of English-speaking viewpoints exclusively. So another limitation ChatGPT has is it's not really capable of performing certain tasks that require a high level of expertise or specialized knowledge. So for example, it's not going to be able to diagnose a medical condition or perform complex mathematical calculations. So while ChatGPT has been trained on a really big range of text, it may not have the level of expertise or specialized knowledge required to perform these tasks. What's interesting about this is, number one, it's like a large language model, is trained off everything on the internet, blah, blah, blah. It's really good generally at doing a lot of things. Obviously, people have tested this thing on math. It's terrible at math right now. But in my mind, there's no way that someone else doesn't go and just create like a really good GPT that solves math problems. Like, it's a calculator. Like, I don't know, like even Google, when you search for like math problems in like common text, like if you just say, "Hello Google, what is 17,000 divided by 400 times 99 plus 42? And you just type that out, like Google can respond, like its search engine is a calculator. There's no way that ChatGPT doesn't get that glitch figured out. Or someone else just makes another AI model that ChatGPT can just API into and pull off of. So I believe that the math problem is going to get fixed on this. And as far as diagnosing medical conditions, something very interesting out of Stanford, they created something called PubMed GPT, where essentially they trained one of these GPT models on all the medical research papers that had been written. And it was pretty impressive because it was actually pretty good at diagnosing people with different, you put the symptoms in and, you know, like a 40-year-old woman who's white, who has these conditions, what might she have? And it was pretty good at diagnosing. And Stanford actually said, if you want this to get even more specific and even more powerful, the solution is to train AI models on specific areas. So like specifically training an AI model on like heart disease, heart conditions, or brain problems. I think that honestly, the medical side of it is going to be big in the future. There's no way that someone doesn't just figure out how to fine tune and train models for specific areas. We have a lot of data and information. It'll be interesting to see how those models go, if those things also get API'd into programs like ChatGPT, or if those will be their own standalone things. You got to imagine at some point there's just too much specialization, and there's just going to be a lot of AI models that are really good at specific things. So yeah, I don't see any version of the world where those problems don't get solved, but currently it is definitely a limitation. So another, problem you could say with ChatGPT is that it can be vulnerable to malicious use. So for example, it can be used to generate emails to help hackers that are trying to do phishing attacks on people, and spam people can use it. So, you know, obviously there's things that it's, you know, ethically there's problems that there's, you know, they're trying to put safeguards in place for those kind of things to prevent malicious use. But there is definitely those kind of problems they're struggling with. I would say one of The final limitations to ChatGPT is its cost. The technology is still relatively new, and it can be expensive to develop and maintain and also just run it. Like the servers in the background running this thing, there's a reason they had to, 5 years ago, get $1 billion from Microsoft and then just recently get 10 more billion dollars from Microsoft, because they're spending this all on computational power. I actually read somewhere, I was listening to someone that said they tried to do the calculation and they think it costs about 30 cents per response from ChatGPT, which is like massive. When you look at like a Google, I think per search on Google, the all the servers and everything that it costs to bring you that result costs about 3 cents. So it's an order of magnitude bigger. And they said that they got to really get the cost down. However, I was talking to a friend recently who said that they're expecting the computational cost to be cut in half every year for the next few years. So apparently they are going to make this thing a lot more optimized. You know, that would be like 30 cents next year, or 15 cents next year for response, and then 7 cents the year after that, and then 4 cents. And so, I mean, you can see in like 3 or 4 years, this thing might be comparable to how much Google is costing when they're running their stuff. But, you know, there's a reason they had to raise $10 billion from Microsoft. This thing isn't cheap. And I think right now they're letting it be free, some versions of ChatGPT, just to really maximize all the data they can collect and to really fine-tune this thing to be really powerful. So wrapping up the podcast today, I would say it's a pretty incredible technology that we have with ChatGPT. It definitely has some limitations. So it's just important to know what those are so that we can better use it to really maximize what we're trying to do. It's an incredible tool for automation, and I see this being a really powerful tool for a long time in the future.